pagans, and pagans, you know, if you're pagan generally, it meant that you didn't speak the language.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, but my point is that I don't know exactly. It seems to me that our concept of liberation is one that moves us from here to something we conceive to be better. And I am not sure whether what we're going after is better. That's my problem.
You're gonna have that uncertainty for sure.
And that's the problem. When the world begins to move, you're moving against where black folks were, and that they were tribal.
But
you see what they're moving. Did you ever see any Africans converting each other?
What's the alternative?
I physically and spiritual acceptance. All y'all doing that? Investing their
mind power.
The only alternative
to that,
I said.
Yeah. But the change has done so much damage to black people.
No, but that's what the whole trouble is talking
about.
The changes resulting from liberation theology, or all the changes resulting from the failure of liberation.
Maybe it's the failure. Maybe it's the thing that we have not defined what it means, what we mean when we talk about people being liberated.
Let me ask a question. What would we do with the people who would not go along with our program?
They would be free to reject it.
I don't believe that.
That's too clear. That's not clear at all. That's free of head.
We can't even do that Are you saying theoretically, what does a commitment to liberation or a commitment to the individual and co-equal of freedom, authority, and value commit you to with respect to the situation that you're talking about? Are you saying that none of us would consistently practice that when it came to an individual who said he didn't want to go along with something?
Almost the same point.
And it's a good point, because when we look at the idea of change, you're always talking about some measure of coercion. And this is where we have endless arguments.
Let me ask a question.
Let me just make a conclusion. You're talking about some measure of coercion, and you run headlong into the problem of what happens when you leave the circle of those who are doing this and begin to move out into the circle of those who are doing that. And I said, then the tendency is to become, for their own sakes, an Alexander the Great.
That is
the problem. for your own good.
That's correct. And you lose at that point the essential core of being.
Let me ask this question. Let me ask this one question. Let me ask this. Now, any of us who were involved in the civil rights struggle and trying to get laws changed in various states and localities to break down barriers to participation by blacks in different institutions, running into restaurants and being arrested for not being allowed to eat and all that kind of thing. When we broke those things down, we didn't go out with any pistols and say to black folks, "Hey, you got to eat there."
But Herb, there's
we did not. No. Wait a minute. No, it won't make a point because it does not follow that just because you create a different situation, that then you become an Alexander Great and say, "All right, now everybody is supposed to go in there."
You know, to make this point really concrete, we negotiated the main county where white people ate. Everybody ate in that county, but they always had a little black county over there. We were awakened one day to find that we had not negotiated anything on the black county, you know. And we met her about
but Major, at that time, that's the time that blacks stopped making biscuits, man, and started buying instant toffee and instant biscuits. You see, that's what's the problem. The problem is that when we moved into the corridors of the world, we became dull and incredible. That's my point.
Then you would have had segregation
remain. No. My point. Okay, no, go ahead. It might have been that. It might have been that. Yeah.
You know, raise your mother.
No, I'm thinking that everybody here almost has their same view. I have a right to mine. That's not my point.
Devastating.
They were selling wives and raiding some villages and everything wasn't cool then either. I don't know when this time is that we are changing people away from to our detriment. I don't know such a time.
Oh, well, can I speak to it? Mm-hmm. The point is this. I said the problem is that we have not defined what liberation is for black people. It has usually been moving into hotels, white lunch counters. We're just kind of, no, it's been doing that. And in that way, in doing that, what we have done is lost our ability to be creative ourselves. And when that happened, in 1954, or whenever it was, that is the time that black people stopped having their own lunch counters. Stopped having their own, trying to construct their own hotels.
Oh, so that was the fault.
That's the fault of black folks.
No.
I am saying, well, it's a part of the whole. If Major could argue that God did not empty all of himself in Christ, then my argument can be expanded around the same context.
And that's where it doesn't matter. It wasn't that there was a golden age. The point I thought you made was
kind of. Can I get a?
The point was just.
Yeah.
Reaction was, what becomes the
Okay, no, my point is...
Well, who's our cynic? Who is our cynic in their liberation? Mm-hmm. All right? And
there's
if you
go
the route that nature's going, which is a personalistic route, you get a pluralistic pattern. You get a kind of kaleidoscopic effect of social process. I don't believe that black liberation has been going in that direction. And I thought Boykin was challenging that it has been more... The statement that was made during the era, which rang down the civil rights movement, in a sense, was, if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us standing in the back set, when we define the solution first,
mm-hmm.
would you just help us with that part? Then we'll know where the hell we are.
That's
well, it was seen, you know, in
no,
Jesus,
no,
in Jesus. Yet whether it's the individual,
I don't see what that means yet. Can I find out what that means?
No,
don't.
I heard
what
people saying was this.
Black
liberation is about the solution. Mm-hmm. There is no mystery about it.
Right.
You're in a situation where your actions either have a product or a consequence of supporting the status quo, which from then on, as they would call it, racist oppression and so forth, or you were in a situation where you're trying to change that. Now the question is there some other?
Yeah, where is the third round?
Your room is too big.
But it doesn't matter when it comes.
When we start the civil rights movement, everyone was for integration. We moved on from integration to freedom. And as we moved, we changed our radical almost without conceptualization from freedom to liberation. And liberation substituted for freedom. All right. That was the black power deal. When Rap Brown and when some of the other boys started reading Sherman Mao's books, they picked up on the word liberation and substituted it for freedom. Then we got a hardcore. In Stokely and under his philosophy, we got a hardcore, either or. Either you're with us or you're against us. And then they started, when they went to Nashville, mm-hmm. to attacking some black folks.
Bad history. Bad history.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad history. You go back to King in 55. The same kind of thing in that book.
We did not
either
burn anybody.
I'm not going to let you know, but that's not what we're talking about.
Burned some few black stores in Nashville.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the way the issue is set up. And King makes it very clear that you are either supporting your own degradation or you are struggling for freedom. I don't care about the content of freedom.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. So what is the third alternative?
Modality, I think that's bad history.
I didn't say there was one. What are you talking about?
What is?
King was always the evidence in the opposition. It wasn't until you got the silver.
But they
thought it was wrapped around until you got the hard silver either. Now, if you don't believe that history,
now, you ain't been
the whole history of black people.
Okay, yeah, no, but he wasn't saying that even if you have it either or conceptualization, that King's positive mood had pluralism built in it. Whereas he's saying later on it didn't. And you can have a conceptualization of either or, but struggling for freedom is defined in such a way that includes pluralism as a
whole. Yeah, because of the logic of plurality. Right. And I don't see how that's ruled out there.
Other hand, to keep that marshaling from becoming itself.
That's how I want to know. You can't evangelize them without violence?
I'm saying there is a tendency that when you adopt the position that you must marshal everyone, you tend to get into the posture of coercion in order to...
Coercion always violates human personality?
Can you avoid coercion?
No, see, the problem is...
I know. It's coercion of the true dictator.
Hey, my friend.
What John advocates is that he who wants to enjoy sin, whether it be oppressive or otherwise, let him alone. Let him enjoy.
Yeah. Hey, my friends. Call me out.
Enjoy the bed.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Please. Thank you.
Think about making or bettering their lives. Yeah, this is what I'm fighting.
That's what I'm fighting.
I think we're in a good now, but it's true that immigration laws have not been about.
No, I'm not with that.
I think you can get some idea about what the contours of that would be like in terms of a certain view of what I'm saying. You can criticize in racism, sexism, and oppression. You invariably invoke a certain anthropology. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying if you look at the anthropology that presupposes the critique of those positions, mm-hmm. and then extrapolate from that is, what would it mean if you institutionalize that concept of anthropology? And that's really what I was doing. Then I think you have some general idea of what social structure, institutional structure look like in a post-liberation state.
Okay.
And that's all I'm doing. So I'm doing that in a manner consistent with, I'm trying to do it on a basic internal analysis, internal criticism. I just want to give you my number. I'm in 473.
Okay.
And I wrote some of this stuff out in wrong hand, and you really may not be able to read it. And what I'll say, if you got a problem, give me a call, and
it's already sometimes like the black experience is the experience of oppressed mankind. Oppressed, a part, a portion of mankind, but it's symbolic of that. And the liberation of black people is symbolic of the liberation of whoever. And this is the turn that I have seen in women's theology. They want to say, we're not just talking about women, we're talking about humanity being liberated. And I said, once you start personalizing and making God's action the action of a particular group, I don't find anything, I find something unique about the black experience only because I'm black. That's the only reason I find anything unique about it. If I were Chinese, I wouldn't find a damn thing unique about the black experience.
Oh, surely you could name me that.
Right now,
that ain't that some jazz, right? Chinese ain't been jazz. Nobody's been jazz put up. They would have to claim that lo and behold, these folks have to do something unique without them being black.
That's the
order
of
their
finding.
That's the order
of
our first community,
too.
And we can go
ahead
and try to
write
a council
with
that. But because of that, aren't we always in a kind of danger of becoming unaware of the whole fabric of the historical? We should become more German in our understanding of history. Then we look at the whole fabric of history.
Where does the German analysis of the historical situation represent this universalism that you're talking
and
about?
Hegel
ends up with the Prussian state
and
being
and
representative.
What did you say about the history of Africa and the history
of
the
world? They are not even
human. I'm not trying to defend Hegel's statement. I'm talking about the way in which you view history. I'm not trying to defend
Hegel. Well, I didn't say view history, but from his perspective.
No. But that's you reduce that and you have nothing but every one of us doing that.
If we all let it go, what we're trying to do is to show that what Hegel was advancing was not a universal view of history, but it was a very parochial and particular view of history masquerading as a universal view. So the moment that we all recognize the possibility.
But the method is not the conclusion. And I'm saying, the method is not the conclusion. And I'm saying, the way of looking at what, how does the black experience fit into the context of the universal human experience, which I think is the theological point of departure for Christianity.
Let's go back and explain that. Okay, what I'm saying is, if you recognize that Hegel didn't accomplish what he attempted to accomplish, it suggests that rather than starting off with some grandiose, illusory universal, what we have to start with are particulars, and we can only affirm that particularity beyond our own subjectivity or idiosyncratic position to the degree to which we can confirm that with respect to the other individual. If I start off seeing its point of view from my perspective, and if I tell it to you and you see it from your perspective, and you say, yeah, I agree with you, then what started as a particular now has a larger objectivity because it has been confirmed consensually. Now, what I'm saying is that is the way you move towards universality.
No, that's not the only way.
Don't say this, but I suggest it. What major talks about. some ways, the great thrust of the commitment presentation to us can be lost.
Well, can I take one back on the Holy Spirit? Because there's one point that I'm still not clear about. When you talk about the Holy Spirit as being a sort of reconceptualization, in some ways using God and Christ, I'm trying to find out whether tend to be two different things. I'm not sure which one. Is that fusion something that is the consequence of the way in which human beings are regarding two separate experiences, and thus the only the objective basis for the fusion is our human perception or our human conceptualization of having experienced God and having experienced Christ, and therefore we conceptualize a concept of the Holy Spirit such that these two come together. Why? Because they came together in our experience. Or are you saying that, ontologically speaking, that the two are fused and would be fused even though there was never a human being to perceive it or to conceptualize? I'm trying to find out what we're talking about, an ontological fusing or an anthropological fusing. And
I'm talking about the ontological. Something because of the fact that we cannot separate the Godhead into a Trinity. The unity of God is never to be sacrificed in talking about the Trinity. The Trinity is merely the mode of manifestation, revelation, and of God making himself known and available. So when Jesus comes, a God who has been somewhat obscure, far removed, has now become flesh, and man has gotten a different conception of God. He knows now that the thought of God cares. He has earned a little bit of justice and anguish. He has earned a little bit of clear understanding of love in Hosea. He has earned a little bit of the solid of God in Jeremiah. But now God has come, made himself more fully known, so that when he is reconceptualized in the Holy Spirit, there is a clearer view of what the one God who has manifested himself now was the creator, far removed, sustainer of the universe, secondly, as redeemer. God, in projected incarnate word, come to us in flesh, revealing what his love is all about, and even the ability of God to expose his love to the most sinister of all of experiences on the cross. Then God has really revealed himself, so that when he comes back in the Holy Spirit, these two are few. Because in the three, they are one.
But does this fusion take place?
No,
only in
all
the incarnation or just prior to that.
I'm just trying to use a vehicle. Fusion is merely a word or a vehicle to explain really what is meant to be.
When you speak of the Spirit being evident in other legislation to secure irrespective?
I would think that the theologer has undergone an anthropological, you know, transition in the sense that it's through many cultures. And, of course, Augustine attempted to explain it in the current philosophical terms when Thomas Aquinas in Aristotle. So that he had it passed through many, many conceptualizations. And all of these, of course, Pauline, even Pauline and Johannine were Hellenistic in interpretation. But all of these approaches have fed into Christianity and attempted to explain it in the light of its understanding of all of these cultures. But I'm just saying that these are theological attempts to make sense out of God, who was one and limited being, but yet related as the creator, sustainer, as the redeemer, and then as God returned to in the Holy Spirit. With us and teach us the same and have a prayer.
Yeah, but the humanization of God via the incarnation does not alter the ontological state of reality and ontological.
No, I would not think so.
Because it's the ontological
interpretation of God.
I just want to get back to the piece of the paper. Is it that the way you discovered this doctrine of the Trinity, which is really not very scriptural, was very useful for the early church to fill in the gap about God, which they couldn't find anywhere else? And what you discovered is that there's a book in there, there's a sufficient data about this whole doctrine. Which can be very useful for this special quality in the Black Spirit, which cannot be identified with anything else in the Christian tradition.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Isn't that really what you're saying, is that here is a doctrine that we can use? Because one part of it is Christianly based for us to invest our reality into it.
I think Black theology should do more.
From a student from another tradition, I would not want to accept that it is Christianly based. I would agree with your thesis that it has not been used. I do think that there are scriptural things that they do, and from another position that they just the carving out of the terms, the words, to express the reality that was already a faith within a community. And I think this is where the ecumenicity may come into play, that we may share from various levels of faith commitment, the terms of adding various nuances to a tradition which we face. And it's where the Trinity might not be one that's even used and explicated within the Catholic Church. It is not something that is without a firm foundation.
We found five from the Trinity.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit was your attention, but the way the Doctrine of Trinity is put together is a church, a church doctrine.
But the thing, it has validity in the fact that it says that the Christians, as was necessary in Jesus Christ, so illuminated
Yeah,
you're saying more than that. You're saying more than that. Don't let Pointy make you say what he's saying. You're saying more than that.
You're saying that everybody else is coming on it and fill it in with what they think.
No, he doesn't want to say that. But that comes back into that subjective place that I was trying to. Even from
Paul, yes, I just wanted to help.
Isn't it true that what's unique about the next thing of procreation, of the notion of hope, is that once the anti-institutional capability to be rigid, dogmatic, and so on, and then also it has a possible political downfall? I'm sure that's what you're talking about.
Right. Right. That's what I think.
It's implicit in.
Well, that's
the
case
to
me. That's
what
I hope
you would say.
That's the only way we think we'd be serviceable.
Again, I come back to this essential being or of the person, the essential core or identity of the individual as a thing which has, as that aspect of being which has the power to say yes or no, and to mean something, that freedom that the individual has. And we were also talking about liberation, oppression, sin and maybe liberation, and the fact of that we have to overcome something to be where we ought to be, or maybe to gain the essential self as such. And we define this thing to overcome as those structures. You talked about external self, the external being around us, or whatever, if it's non-being, whatever we see, as something to overcome, that we get over this thing, and then we can really be all right. You know, I have concern as to not, you know, excusing the personal, how would it look when I overcome it? You know, what sort of style would I have? And okay, taking that is the problem. That is the problem we have. But I see Jesus dealing with another situation, that the crushing of the core of being was always in terms of somebody with a hemorrhaging woman for many years, or a demon-possessed individual, or some sort of personal aspect or personal matter that the individual had that sort of weighed, even for instance in Paul, the problem Paul had was that he had a thorn in his flesh that caused him not to be. You see, and that aggravated his being. And maybe when Black said that, when you were talking about Aunt Jane, And they were saying that, well, they and Jane never perceived that this thing, that liberation, that she had overcome this. Maybe she was saying that the maintaining of the essential being of herself was itself liberation. And I see this, you know, quite pervasive in the New Testament, that they were not interested in coming over. And I think to define liberation as something, that is the thing to overcome, is to be involved in what we know as cultural trappings and our understanding of what it means to progress, rather than say, here I stand, and like the African community. That's my point. And this is, so when the African community, let me just conclude this one sentence. Maybe when the African community stood there, they were not in, and this is what I talk about, the corridors of the world as such. That is Alexandrian, Alexander the Great kind of world where one sees himself as progressing, as moving, as overcoming something, as the gospel of the book of Acts, which sees Christianity as the best thing going, and you have to always get out of the way because it's the best thing for you. And this is, you're making progress. But in that more static notion, when people do not, I wonder whether blacks in the streets see themselves as oppressed and overcoming when they overcome, say, when they get what white folks got.
Yeah, you see what I mean? That doesn't excuse them from political action.
That's what I know, but I'm saying liberation as restore, as restore, as restore a being. Yeah. Okay.
To be true or to be is also to accept a responsibility that is yours to allow others to be.
Okay, I agree.
So I think that one has misunderstood, except that he accepts that reciprocal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And to let be. Until one accepts that, then he is not really free. As long as you are afraid to be and to leave the room to be, then you're not free.
Mm-hmm.
So that freedom is in this sense related to the context. And to the social situation.
Okay.
And it's also related to God. So, but I'm saying that you are related, you are responsible not only for your people, but you are responsible to work and to help free other people so that they may have the full opportunity for being.
Okay, but the thing is where is my domain of activity, whether or not what I am trying to free people from is that which we have been discussing as our problem, or whether it's something else.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. If, well, let me put it this way. If you're advancing a certain interpretation of Christianity, New Testament, or faith, from the standpoint, again, of what I find missing there is the dimension of institutionalization. That is, the things that you're talking about, the problems that you're talking about, are one which could also be looked at in terms of the consequences or the product of some kind of sinful form of institution. And therefore, to correct it at the individual level cannot be accomplished without also attacking the institutions which support and produce that kind of individual problem that you say has to be overcome. Now, all I'm saying is, if we simply focus on the individual apart from the institutions that are the factor or the scaffolding for that, I don't think you're really being true to the biblical perspective either.
Okay, I would agree. Okay. I would agree that but I'm just saying my situation is, or my concern is, whether or not the masses of black people perceive that their oppression is almost the same thing we perceive it to be.
They don't. I don't think they do it. That's why you're their friend. That's the size of the force.
Yeah, but then we would be enlightened. We would say that we know the way. That when it becomes Hellenized, it becomes Hellenized and goes the root for that
Alexander the Great. No. There are other ways to go besides Alexander the Great.
No, he believed that he was going to make a better. No, he believed he was going to make a better world. Yeah, a better world.
And he had a
problem.
If somebody is
things that happened to the nation in that time was this, that here this world conqueror comes along. He may not have such conquered them as with guns, such as in the case of the Iranian women, through blood, it matters. Okay? Better women, that's us. You so we make a better race of people. Okay? Greek town. You see our pottery all over the world, people buying commercial support sales, the commerce thing. Okay, now this is the thing that he says, okay, we're going to make a better world. Okay, we're going to make the world better. Now, is this what we are after? I mean, where are we going? Where are we going? That's my question. But my point is,
about Alexander the Great. Thank you.